Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
As you know, we started a series, a bit of stewardship, and it's called Fearless in Faith. And we had Wayne Alcorn share a sermon on trusting in the Lord. And there were some gold nuggets in there about who we trust and do we trust in Him. And then last week we had Pastor Steve bring a word on lordship. Is Jesus really our Lord? Do we love Him as our Lord? And today I'm going to be preaching on harvest. So the title of my sermon is The Harvest of Righteousness. And this morning we had Lisa share a devotional on righteousness. I was about to slap on the sermon title behind Lisa as she did a devotion, as she shared about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? Yeah. All right, I'm going to pray before we get into it. Father, we thank You that we could come before You. We thank You that we could be in Your house. We thank You that we could be in Your presence, Lord. So I pray that it will be Your word that enriches our soul. It will be Your truth that brings the light into our life. So we surrender everything all to You, Lord, and we say, have Your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you are a living sacrifice, you say, amen. Amen. So as we talk about fearless in faith, there is a law that governs the world if you live in it. And everyone knows this. Some people call it karma, but it is actually the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Kingdom living is ordered, and God has created these laws to govern the world and everything we do in it. So for those that don't know, the law of sowing and reaping is you sow some seeds, and those seeds will die in the ground and then grow. And then when the harvest comes, you can reap that harvest. It's a simple way of understanding the seasons of sowing and reaping. It says in Genesis 8, verse 22, after Noah and the ark, God makes a promise that says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Then there should be another verse after that. Let me go to my Bible. That's why we have our Bibles here. Genesis 8, verse 22, it says, where is it? Yep, and then God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So God commanded these seasons to be in place. So right now we're entering winter season. And we understand that there are seasons of sowing and there are seasons of reaping. And what I'm going to do today for this sermon, just so that I'll give you a heads up, I'm going to explain what I mean by righteousness so that you've got the context of why I'm saying this. And then I'm going to go into a sobering reminder and a reflection that you can just really see where you're at with this. But then I'm going to give you the good news at the end. Because, you know, good news is not good news without bad news. Amen? So that's what I'm going to do today. So just hang with me. If you leave too early, you're going to leave a bit flat. There's a hook in there. But the good thing is, just before Pastor Wayne preached, we had Pastor Shane Willard preach on righteousness. And it kind of sums up a lot of things that I can't share about today because I don't have enough time and enough wisdom like Pastor Shane Willard because he's done like 20 years of studying and research into that. But it's on the podcast. I encourage you to listen to it about righteousness and it will give you some gold nuggets and complement this message. So what do I mean by righteousness? Well, there are words in the Hebrew that is tzedak and tzedakah. So tzedak is a Hebrew word for rightness. It's to be straight, it's to be right, it's to be just and in alignment. In alignment with God. It means to be made right. Because when God created the world, He said it is good, but then when sin came into the world, it wrecked and corrupted the way we live, and that Jesus came to make things right again. So righteous means you have been made right. And then you've got tzedakah, which is righteousness. And that means rightness express, rightness in action. So it is the way we express that rightness. It's not just about being made right, but it's about expressing that righteousness, to people so people can see God in you. So what do I mean by harvest of righteousness? I mean a light-producing, what is right, what is just, what is good, and flowing outwards into others, bringing fruitfulness and healing into the world we live in because we know the one who is good in God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. And the reason why we need to have a harvest of righteousness in this world is because, again, the world is seeking Jesus Christ. The world is looking for answers into who is God and who is the God of love, who is the God of patience, who is the one that brings the truth. Because we currently understand that the world we live in, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of chaos. And it is the light that drives our darkness. And it's not the darkness that drives our light. It is darkness that has an absence of light. So my first point to start off with is we are living in a harvest today that you have currently built so far. As it says in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So the reflection part is you are living in the light today in which you have sowed in the past. Right now as you sit, you are currently eating the fruit of what you have infested in your past. If someone ate junk food last night, you're probably feeling it now. If someone had a good breakfast, you're probably feeling it now. But what we got to understand is our life is a culmination of decisions that we have made, of thoughts that we have thought, of actions that we have done, of beliefs that we have believed, good and bad. So my question to you is, are you satisfied with your current harvest? My second question is, do you live in the harvest of righteousness? I know that I'm not fully satisfied, but the truth is I have everything that I need in order to make the decisions that I need to make to live in a harvest of righteousness. And I don't mean that in a selfish way where I become right. No, I've been made right. That's already sorted. But the harvest of righteousness is what I produce in the overflow of my life. So it's not about me, myself, and I, but it is about me, myself, and I, and what I could do for others as a result. And as I finished preparing this sermon, God brought me to Matthew 9 when I was at work last night. Matthew 9, where Jesus is actually talking about the harvest. In Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. The context is Jesus was doing a lot of stuff. He was doing a lot of great things. He forgave and healed a paralyzed man. But then the Pharisees were like, "Who are you to do that?" Then the Pharisees again accused his disciples of not fasting because they were with Jesus. So they said, "Why are you not fasting?" And then Jesus raised a dead woman and healed a sick woman. And then Jesus healed a blind and the mute. But then the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing all these things?" And then this came to the point where Jesus said this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." Now, for me, I thought that meant work. You just got to work it. But what I realized when I looked at the previous chapter and what God was doing, he was literally doing everything. But then the Pharisees kept coming and trying to stop him. That's because they just believed that in the law was perfect. They believed that everything, that self-righteousness was all they needed to do, not realizing people around them were eating off the harvest of the Pharisees, which they're harassed and helpless. And Jesus trying to do all these things in order to bring them life, in order to bring them freedom, which made me realize that the question is, am I producing the harvest in my life? Am I showing the love of Jesus Christ, or am I containing it to myself? Am I showing the fruit of Jesus Christ, or am I just showing the fruits of my own selfish desires? And when people look at me, do they see Jesus, or do they see another man chasing his own things? So I realized that Jesus was pointing to me, saying, are you working within that righteousness and displaying it? Because what he was saying is the harvest is plentiful, which means they are ready to hear, they are ready to see, their hearts are open, it's just they cannot see the person next to them with Jesus Christ. So all they are waiting for is someone carrying that righteousness and expressing that love of God, so they go, oh, that's what they're talking about. So that's where we need to work at. That is what Jesus Christ is trying to say to us today. So what if people miss out on God because of the fruits we carry or the lack of? I feel like everything I think and say and do is a decision I make between two things. Is it for God or is it for myself? Whenever I'm at grocery shopping and God's saying, you know, look at that person, talk to them. No. I want to do my own thing. I want to get home. That's me. Or God is saying, I want you to bless that person. Talk to them. Let them know that they're seen and heard. Two decisions, two outcomes. And every single decision that we make will reflect the fruit that we carry. Yep. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be striving to do everything and there's no rest in that. No. We come from a place of being made right, expressing that righteousness, and in that we find freedom. But if we struggle to do that, then there might be something that we need to adjust in our lives. And there's a question in Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25 that I want to ask. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Do you refresh others? If you had dinner with yourself, would you walk away refreshed? Probably be like, this guy talks too much, man. But do you refresh others? Do you refresh yourself? Do you let the Lord refresh you? Do you find delight in Him? Or is it hard work for you? Are you someone who refreshes other people? This generosity wasn't about money. It was about you being you, giving of yourself, of your wisdom, of your words, of your actions, of your time. A generous person in all things, in spirit, in character, in heart. And then why do we get so much more back? It's because there's health, there's life. It reproduces itself. People come up to you with it being more refreshing to you because you're refreshing towards them. I work in hospitality. Whenever I give someone a check back, make sure they're all good with their food, they give me a big smile, say thank you for checking up on me, and they become great customers. If I give them the stingy eye because they're annoying me, they're going to walk away with a stingy eye. So it comes back tenfold. Life begets life. Life brings life. Death still kills, destroy. It's done. So you've got to understand that when we have a harvest of righteousness, we begin to prosper, and then other things prosper. So we are living in a harvest today of what we have sowed and reaped. So the question is, are you happy with that? And as you ponder that question, the second point that I have is we are always sowing. It is whether we sow by default or we sow with intention. We are always sowing. So as you go to Galatians 6, I want to ask you the question, at the end of your life, what do you want your harvest to be? What do you want your harvest to be? You know, you see on the tombstones, you always see that statement of a person and how they lived their life. What will be written on your tombstone? How will people remember you? And the reason why I say that, it is a sobering reminder to go, actually, my days are limited. How am I going to use them? I have limited time, limited interactions. How am I going to use them? Just like a farmer with his land, he's got limited space. He could choose to create chaos, or he can intentionally create space for what he wants to grow and develop and nurture, and through that plan intentionally and see the harvest of that, to maximize that fruitfulness. So at the end of your life, what do you want your harvest to be? And you know, there are some early Christians who have a skull on their desk. It was to remind them that their days are limited. It's called memento mori. It was a sober reminder, my days are limited. How do I want to live with the fullness of that? It's not meant to be scary. It's just a sober reminder so that we never lose sight of who we're living for. So in between all this, now, today, and the end, what are we to do? So the question I have for you is, what seeds do you have today in your hand? Do people experience Christ in his fullness in us? What seeds do we have in our hands? Are they seeds of discord, of hurt, of pain, of frustration? Or are they seeds of love, trust, kindness, fruitfulness, a belief that God can multiply, promises, dreams, encouragement? So we got to understand what seeds we have today, because if we don't, then we don't know what we're throwing out in the ground. So as we really read Galatians 6, starting from 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they could take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will what? Reap a harvest if we do not give up. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There is a lot in there. But the reason why I want to share that first is at the very end, the therefore, what is a therefore, therefore? The therefore is we have an opportunity to do good, to reap a harvest. But before that, there's a set of instructions in what we are meant to do. So the question is, the process is, sorry, is we reap what we sow, which is our current experience. We will reap things to come, which is what we will experience. And we reap in proportion to what we sow often, how much we experience. And the truth that I've been hearing is we are very good in Western culture at being transformed outside in, but not inside out. What do I mean by that? We are very good at changing our behaviors to look a certain way, to try and fit the mold, to say the right things, to do the right things. But what we've got to understand is righteousness is inside out transformation. Righteousness is not about staying away from the wrong things. That's why it's not called a forward wrongness. It's called righteousness. It is being made right, doing all the right things so that you are setting things right through your life. And it's not about avoiding the bad things in life, but it's about stepping into your life and doing the good things so that people can see the light. And we see in Galatians, Paul says, sobering reminder. He says, if you are in sin, understand it and then be restored gently back into rightful place. What is a sin? It's anything that misses the mark, anything that corrupts the goodness of God, anything that corrupts the community. And it's like the weeds of the life. You've got to pull them out. And he also says, do not think that you are someone that you are not. What does that mean? It means dealing with the stuff that we have that is causing issues. It is about dealing with the little things that we don't realize that are there. They call it the little foxes in life. You have been made right, but you've got to deal with the stuff as they come up and make those things right. And we understand that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not our repentance that leads us to God's kindness. So it is because God has done all these things. We have everything we need in order to be made right and to live righteously. So the question is, what are we doing with that gift? What are we doing with that understanding? I'll throw a few out there. Do we have any NFLs in our life that we said we'll never do these things? Do we have any bitter roots in our lives that are causing us to think bitterly towards things? Do we have any unforgiveness in our lives that is causing offense? Do we have any anger, hatred? Do you have any sense of greed where we want to take from someone's life rather than give? Lust, where again, we take something from someone. All these things break the fabric of God's community and God's heart. That's why I cannot live in the fullness of God. So we are called to give, to sow, to refresh others. But we've got to deal with this stuff. And the thing is, we're not meant to do it alone. That's why we have all these people around us. It doesn't say if you see yourself in sin, try to deal with yourself and restore yourself gently. No, it says if you see a brother or a sister that is in sin, restore them gently, help them. And he also says, carry each other's burdens. And then he says, carry your own load. Is there a contradiction? Well, burdens are like a big rock that you cannot actually pull or carry by yourself, as some of you are. And when that happens, you need help, you need support. So that rock starts to become smaller and smaller into a load that you could carry like a backpack. And you become responsible for that. So I carry my own backpack. If I don't deal with that stuff, it's going to become a rock. Then you all have to help me deal with it. God help you all. It's like if you're in a hospital, if you've got a little cough that you can take care of yourself and you run to the emergency ward to try to get it dealt with, someone who actually has like guts spilling out, you know, because they've just had a car accident and won't be able to get a hospital bed because you're just there with a little cough asking the doctor to help you. It's that same imagery. If you could carry and you are responsible for your life and you are responsible for the things that you are dealing with, you could carry that. But if you're not, then you need help. And that's when you reach out. That's when you say, help me, I'm dealing with this. Spiritual warfare, I'm dealing with the dynamics of the world, my family, or grief that is beyond me. Help me with this. And this is where we can begin to sow seeds that bring a harvest of righteousness. And touching on that, God partners with us in what we sow. What we sow, he grows. However, he will do what we cannot do, but he won't do what we can do. So if you've got stuff in your life that you are told to deal with and you don't deal with, you're trying to pray it away, whereas God's telling you to have a bit of discipline or confess or whatever it is, he won't do that for you because that is your responsibility. If you see a weed that's in the garden, he's asking you to pull it out, you're just praying it away, that's not enough. God will bring breakthrough in the areas that you cannot actually physically control. But he won't plant the seeds for you because that is your responsibility. So we got to understand that when we are called to do something, we need to step in obedience and that God will bring the growth. God will bring the multiplication. God will bring the harvest. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. Who brought the growth? God. If there was no Paul and Apollos, there wouldn't be a church. So we are called to sow seeds. And right now, today, we are always sowing, whether it's by default, bad words, actions, presence, thoughts, behaviors, or by intention. I've received the gift of life from God. I carry his presence with me. Therefore, I'm going to carry it into the workplaces and spaces that I'm in. I'm going to carry it into the family that I'm in. Too many of us are dictated by the circumstance of the world that we live in, rather than bringing in what the circumstance, what God has done in our lives. And that's why Jesus, with compassion, said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Don't worry, I haven't hit the good news yet, just in case you're wondering. But if you go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15, this is just an example, again, of how when we sow seeds and how we respond to the harvest. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he, which is God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you'll be enriched in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Did you see the harvest in that? That people will thank God because of you. That they'll see the confession and your actions coming together. They're going, there is a God that lives. That there is a harvest of righteousness. That things are made right because you are walking in that. He was talking about money in that, but money is simply a vehicle of your generosity. Yes. And why do I say vehicle? Because he also says money is a root of all kinds of evil. A root. There's other roots. There's all kinds of evil. But if we plant good seeds, we have good roots, and that leads us to all kinds of goodness. And that is a harvest of righteousness. It could be money, it could be gifts, it could be time, it could be a word, it could be your behavior, it could be your presence. Whatever you steward in your life that other people see and witness and feel is a harvest of righteousness. So my encouragement to us is that we need to stop living in the poverty mindset of I'm only given what I need because I'm content with that. But we need to move into, Lord, what have you given me that I need to sow into so that other people can experience your goodness just as I have? And the reason we're going to ask this question is because we are living in the fruits of other people's lives. Other people have invested into us, shown us the love of God. Other people have shown us the fruits of the Spirit. And we have said, there is a God because I see it in people. And how dare we let it stop with us? So the good news that I have for you, are you ready for the good news? Let's change it up. Point number three, we can change our harvest. Come on. This is an answer that you need today that will support you for the rest of your life. You have received every single tool, resource, person, support, or whatever you need in life in order to do what God needs you to do. How do I know that? Jesus said, it is done. I'm done. I'm finished. That's it. I could retire, but he hasn't retired. He's interceding for us. But he said, I've done my bit. So we are literally living on the other side of what God has done. And now he has said, all authority and kingdom of heaven has been given to me, and I give it to you for you to step out into the world and bring them good news. The only thing stopping us is our limited understanding of the influence and power that we have because of the gospel. Now, there may be reasons for that. But we could change our harvest. We could change how much others experience the Lord's goodness. We have grace. We have mercy. We have knowledge. We have wisdom. We have the forgiveness of sins. There shouldn't be any shame once we take on the righteousness of God. We have the empowerment of faith and life. God is a master of redemption. You could change what you have sown. Sorry, you can't change what you have sown, but you can start sowing differently. We have everything that we need in life to do what God has called us to do. You literally have no excuses apart from the excuses that you make, but that's all your fault. I still remember when Pastor Steve was like, mate, you're just giving me an excuse. I'm like, yeah, I know. There is no excuse for me to not live in the righteous life, but there is a process that I have to go through in order to do it better and better and better. And that's what we need to understand. What are we sowing today? But I was reading Luke chapter 6, where Jesus again begins to talk about loving your enemies, all these things. But there was a passage in there that I thought was actually about money, but it wasn't. And it says in Luke 6, verse 37, I think it is. It says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned." Now, most people have that tattooed across their bodies because they don't want to be judged, but they're missing the second point. It says, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." And this is what I thought was about money. "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." But it's actually about giving righteousness. Because the verse before that is talking about, "Blessed who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed who hunger now, for you are satisfied." And it talks about loving your enemies, and it talks about tree and its fruit. Can a good tree bear bad fruit? No. And then it talks about the wise and foolish builders. We are called to understand the revelation that we have of God and build our lives upon that and give righteously so that it will be given back to us. Give righteously. Forgive one another. Bring love, bring joy, bring peace. Bring patience, bring kindness. Actually, patience is not the right word. It means patient in suffering. That adds a whole other layer to it. To bring goodness. And we are called to bring these things to one another so that we can refresh others. Now, does this mean we don't come to each other with problems? No, we do. But we also need to make sure we don't fall in the habit of just giving us problems. Some people just complain for the sake of complaining. I hear it at work. I move something and they're like, "Oh, this is wrong, this is wrong." I'm like, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" They're like, "No, it's just wrong." But we got to understand that the way we live and the way we impact our families and our church, the way we refresh others, the way we give, it will be given back to you. Have you noticed if you are a person that has deep and meaningful talks with people that like to talk about problems, you often get people coming to you to talk about their problems and it just multiplies till you become a person, "I just hear everyone's problems." It's like, "Man, I don't know what I'm doing with all these things. They can't get their lives in order. I can't get my life in my order." But when you understand that you've got wisdom that you can impart in these people, or wisdom and God's solution that we can bring into life, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to go about this? It starts to lead us into a place of righteousness and fruitfulness. I had a chat with a friend, with Elaine, last Thursday, and this guy just gave us such refreshing wisdom. I'm like, this is what it's all about. He pulled us out of where we were thinking. It gave us some perspective. It gave us insights. It gave us understanding. And I'm still thinking about it to this day. How beautiful is God's revelation and wisdom? How beautiful is the love that we can have for one another? Does anyone want to be in a family of that? I know I do. But it starts with me. It starts with me. So we could change our harvest. So how do we change it? Well, the first thing we need to do is make sure we receive that righteousness. We need to receive it in an identity. You should never move from this place ever. I'm talking to believers here who have received the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ. You should never remove that place of righteousness. No matter how far you've fallen, you've been made right. But people say, "Well, that means I can do whatever I want." I say, "Well, no. If you do whatever you want, not everything's beneficial." Which brings me to my second one. We need to sow righteousness. We need to express the goodness. We need to express the gratefulness, the gratitude. This is the action that we have to take, the responsibility that we have. So God's done his part. He's given us the righteousness. It's a gift. And he's given us what is in our hands. We need to sow it. And then lastly, we need to remain in that process. Endurance. And it's the outcome. When you realize these three things, you start opening the Bible, seeing all these three things everywhere. For it is endurance that produces perseverance, that produces character, that produces hope. And then in the letters, in the earlier letters, it talks about you are not a slave to sin anymore. You have been made right. And then what does he say? He says, put on the things of love. No, sorry. It says, take off first and then put on the things of love. Take off hatred. Take off the sin that you once led in your life. Take off these things. Let it be done. Let it be dealt with and put on the things of love. And I want to encourage you to understand that faith isn't just blind. We don't just have faith in the cosmos, faith in the whatever, that whatever we throw out there will come back to us. But faith is the assurance, the substance of things that we do not see, but that we heard the truth and we're going to live by that. Righteousness is faith. It is a belief that we have that we are made right. If it's not true, then we're all doomed, literally. So by faith, we believe this. And trust is a passivity. Trust is what you hold on to when things don't look good. I trust in the Lord that you have your promises, that you are faithful. I trust in your character more than I trust in my circumstances. And lordship isn't careless. You choose who is Lord of your life. You choose to make a stand and say, I make you the Lord of my life, that whatever you say, I do. That I sit in your kingdom, that whatever is your way is now my way. And then the harvest of righteousness is not something that happens by default. It happens through intention. It happens through reflection. It happens through purposefulness. It happens through making time with God and understanding what is righteousness and what is the right way, and then live according to that. And that is the good news, my friends. That is what is listed in the Bible in terms of what is right. Back then, they needed the law to make sure things were right. But today we have Jesus Christ who has made things right. And we also have the letters of the apostles saying, this is the right way. It seems good to us. So that people around us here and also people around us in the community and in this world can experience the goodness of God. But let me remind you also, in Galatians it said, let us not grow tired of doing good, especially to the family of believers. Because if we can't do it here, we can't do it out there. So let us look left and right to our brothers and sisters. How do I live a righteous life so that my brothers and sisters can experience God's goodness? And did you know that you all bring a part of God's heart into this family? No one is going to preach this sermon the exact same way that I have in this moment. But I can't do anything that you're going to do that God has mandated you to do. But if you choose to step away from that and not so righteously, then I may miss out. The person left and right of you may miss out on the goodness of God. That is how much of an influence and a responsibility that you have. So what are we to do? We need to water the seeds, which is the Holy Spirit. We need to feed and nourish the seeds, which is the Word of God. We need to pull out the weeds, which is guarding our heart, which is dealing with the little foxes, which is dealing with all the little things that we need to deal with. And I encourage you to deal with them now. If there is an issue that I have in my life, I want to deal with it now, because if I don't, it's going to cost me a lot more in the future. It's going to cost other people a lot more in the future. Deal with it now. Whatever it may be, deal with it now. And then lastly, let's remain in Him. You'll be made right. So as we come to a close, we have the worship team up. I really want to utilize this time to help us understand what do we need to change in order to have a harvest of righteousness. This is not condemnation. This is not anything to limit you, but it's actually an invitation for you to walk in the fullness of God. But let me warn you, most of these will probably take a process. But let me encourage you, you have God and us. You have all that you need in order to get it right. You have grace, mercy, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all the resources. You have the Comforter, you have the Holy Spirit. What do we need to change in order to change a harvest? Let's embrace a slower pace of life and embrace each season for what it is and brings. Let us pull out every ounce of experience and understanding and fruitfulness in each season that we're in. If you're having a bad time, count it all joy. For the trials produces perseverance that you'll need in your next season. You're having a great time. Praise the Lord. Encourage one another. What you are sowing, you will reap. What you are sowing, others will reap. I want to be a person that refreshes others. Are there things I need to do? Yes. But am I a lot better than I was? Absolutely. Do I still have the Lord with me? 100%. What do we need to change in order to have a harvest of righteousness?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.